B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's third and four with Rodgers. Calmly retreating, looking for something. Flag is down as he throws to the end zone. Incomplete.
Illegal use of hands. Hands to the face. Defense. Where?
There's on the left shoulder once again. The left shoulder.
Two illegal hands to the face penalties in the second half for Trey Flowers.
And it shouldn't have been called tonight. Let's make sure we let America know that that's twice. The first time it cost them a sack. This time it cost them the game. When blown calls, when blatant calls cost teams football games, that's where we as players, the coaches, and even the fans in America, if we can see it, the officials should be able to see that. And I think that's why we're all a little bit disgruntled.
And that was ESPN reaction to the hands to the face penalties on Trey Flowers last night. He had never had a hands to the face penalty in his career. And then he got two in the fourth quarter as the Packers come back. So that's a big talker today. Michael Bennett suspended. That's another big talker. The state of the Patriots offense. Whatever you want, okay, as promised. A lot of you have been waiting patiently. Paul in Rhode Island, lead us off this hour. Go. Paul! Okay, Paul, you can call us back. Got to be ready to go. Anthony and Medford, quickly.
Yeah, the Booger McFarland blows. They should have left him at college doing the college games. I can't stand it. We all know those two calls against Flowers stunk. But, Michael, what is the weakness of the Patriots' defense?
The weakness of the Patriots' defense? I don't know if they have one.
It's the line. They're great at linebacker, and they're great in the secondary. You're going to tell me Bennett isn't better than John Simon and Adam Butler? He shouldn't be getting snaps over them?
Apparently, I'm not sure of that, Anthony. I'm not sure that. If Michael Bennett is out of shape or unwilling to play the scheme, maybe Adam Butler is better. I mean, I'm not in there watching the two-gappers. So that's what those guys are asked to do. And, I mean, you won't hear me say this often, but I will defer to Bill on that one. The big fatty's inside. He wants some two-gapping, tying up blockers, playing the system. Michael Bennett doesn't want to do that. He's never done that. So maybe Adam Butler is better. John Simon plays outside linebacker. It's a different position.
So the only thing I'll say is that in the Bills game, they got run on. Right? In the Bills game, they got run on. I mean, it was a, I don't remember what the yards per rush was, but it was high. So, and the other thing is, I'd like to wait until they face an offense.
Well, so, like, in passing situations, can he be out there rushing the passer inside where he's not tying up blockers? And,
yeah, I'd prefer to see him on the field when they play Kansas City or Houston. You're going to go up against a mobile quarterback. That's where you'll need Bennett.
But it's hard to say that you've needed it. They've given up, like, two defensive plays all year.
No, Mike, to this point, it's indisputable. They haven't needed him. He hasn't played that much, and they've dominated. So I don't think that is remotely a stretch. But can we see what they look like against a real team?
On Booger McFarland, I think he's good. I like him. He's fine. I thought that call last night saying the second one cost Detroit the game is a little bit of a leap. The second hands of the face occurred at the 16-yard line. So the Packers were going to line up for a 34-yard field goal to take the lead. And Detroit was out of timeouts, and there was a minute 30 left. So the Packers would be kicking off with about a minute 35 left on the clock. Presuming that Crosby made the 34-yarder, that's the extra point, but, he's 90% on the extra points. So for the Lions to have won, Stafford, with 90 seconds left, no timeouts, would have had to drive them into field goal range, and Prater would have had to made the kick. Prater was great in this game. He made everything. So Detroit had a real good chance to go ahead and retake the lead, but it's a little bit of a leap. People are treating it like that was the last play of the game or it was going to be over if they hadn't called the thing. No. Detroit was going to have to drive the field with no timeouts and kick a field goal to go ahead.
Okay, what about in tandem, the two of them?
Okay, the first one was far more damaging.
Huge. It was third down. They extended the drive. They got a touchdown. Now it's a two-point game.
No question.
The first one was huge.
The first one was bigger. Here's Albert in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Albert.
How's it going, guys? Quickly with the Brady thing, I think it's funny. Every time the Patriots' offense struggles the last couple of years, we never talk about the quarterback. We just talk about the fact of everything else around them. That's a quick point. My main reason for calling is that Bennett, Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, when you guys were talking about all the trash bags the Patriots have brought in, it's really amazing and a reflection of the league that they can take chances on these scumbags. They don't work out. They take up money in their salary cap, and it doesn't mean the world of difference because this
matter.
Yeah, you're right, Felger. It is, but it's just amazing. This is the highest level of football in the world as we know it, and they can take in derelicts and take up dead money, and it doesn't mean a damn thing.
It doesn't mean a damn thing. Still the best defense in the league. Still the odds-on Super Bowl favorite. Michael Bennett fails. Well, Antonio Brown fails and blows up in their face. Big mistake. Michael Bennett looks like a fail. Looks like it's going to blow up in their face. It's not going to matter. Two big fails on their arguably their two biggest offseason moves.
What if it ends up costing them?
In what respect?
The offense. Well, if they lose, can we agree that if they lose, it's going to be ultimately because of either their offensive line or their receiving corps?
So again,
the pass game will do them in.
I still think they're going to upgrade at receiver, and they'll be able to figure out the money because you always can. So you don't hear me harping about the salary cap space. What I'm harping on is just the roster spot. They invested in those players at the expense of someone else they could use. And maybe there's a real money thing there where Robert says, Bill, I'm not giving you any more real money. I just flushed $10 million down the toilet I just flushed $15 million. Real money. Forget the funny money. My real money, $15, just got flushed down the toilet with two turds in Antonio Brown and Michael Bennett. I'm not giving you any more money. Like, that could be happening. That happens all the time. So if they can't add because of money, then yes. And it costs them, I'll go back and second guess them for it. But right now, I think they're going to moonwalk backwards into the Super Bowl. So, you know, really, it's just, I think to Albert's point, they're that far ahead of everybody else that they can have these big misses and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, in the conference for sure. I just think that if they stumble, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be the line or the pass game. One of the two.
We asked Cam Newton if they go with Kyle Allen and Carolina permanently or even just this year. And this just occurred to me. If you're Carolina, you're in it. Why not trade Cam Newton right now before the trade deadline to a team that needs a quarterback? Get something for your stretch run and go.
I mean, I would. I told you, I'd do it if I were Atlanta.
Okay.
I'd move Matt Ryan, too. I would.
Bedard came up with a good Chicago. Good spot for Cam Newton. Buffalo, good spot for Cam Newton. Tennessee, good spot for Cam Newton. Brandon I'm sorry, go ahead.
The league never does this kind of thing. I'm trying to rack my brain. When's the last time a quarterback of name actually got traded? Carson Palmer?
I think that's it. But off season, like, when does it ever happen at the deadline? Ever.
Never, almost never.
Brandon, I just set that up. Brandon in Boston wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. Well, I was listening to you guys about Cam Newton. I think it's a done deal with him and the Panthers. I think it's time for him to sit under a veteran because we know Cam Newton's not that good of a thrower. He doesn't work well in the pocket.
So he should be a backup is what you're saying?
So, yeah, he should work under probably now I got some destinations where he should go. Tom Brady, you know,
Brandon, I'm going to cut you off. He's not going to come back up, Tom Brady. He's a former league MVP who's made a Super Bowl. He's a starter in the league, and a team's going to view him as such. Okay, would you not please? That just kills my trade deadline talk. I'm going to trade him as a backup. Just stop. No. If you're telling me I think Cam Newton's taking a step back, and he didn't look good, but massive upgrade over Mitchell Trubisky. Massive upgrade over
Josh Allen.
Massive upgrade over Hawaiian Tebow.
Or Ryan Tannehill, who I think they're now going to start there. Like, yeah, he would be a massive upgrade in those teams.
I told you,
I'd trade him to Pittsburgh. There's a potential. Now, look, if Rudolph comes back, they won't do that. They have a young quarterback.
Pittsburgh's another great one. They're still in that division. I'm sorry.
They had beaten the Ravens in that overtime game, they'd be tied for first.
Trade Cam Newton this year. Nut up and do something interesting. You can win-win. Get something good for him. I think you'd get more in the offseason than the trade deadline, but try it.
That'd be so fun.
Casey in Maine on Michael Bennett. Yes, Casey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I was just wondering, with Bennett starting to have his philosophical disagreements with the coaching staff, if he continues to act out and be a problem, what are the chances, if any chances, that they could, you know, recoup some of that money back from his massive contract and maybe go get Cam Newton as a backup quarterback?
Oh, God. Why are you doing that to me? Cam Newton is a backup quarterback.
No, forget the backup. There's so many other areas they could. Bennett for a receiver makes all the sense in the world.
Okay,
I mean, that's an easy one.
You now need a team who's going to take on this pain in the ass, which is what he is. He and his brother, pains in the ass.
I'm telling you, though, I think there are a lot of teams that would still do it. You know, again, there are a lot of places that aren't as tight as the Patriots are in terms of how they run it that can still win it. And so
you mean there's other teams where they'd let him tell the defensive line coach to go F himself?
Yeah. I think they'd encourage it. Yeah. Seattle, one of them, you know, to me that Seattle defense is taking a step back. Russell Wilson's bailing them out a lot. You're telling me they couldn't use Bennett right now? I would take Bennett if I were Seattle.
Tom,
I would do that in a minute.
Tom in New Hampshire, go.
Who was the last quarterback of relevance who was traded? How about Jimmy G?
Oh, number good one. Two. There you go.
Number two. Hey, NFL, other than pre-snap penalties and personal fouls, get rid of all the flags. Flags are for fags.
We really can't say that. Jimmy, are you paying attention? Jim, just double-checking. Yeah, because we can't let that one go.
No, definitely not.
Unless you're listening on the app, then you're clear.
Yeah, well, then you got it, unfortunately.
Mm. Can't control that.
Here's Tim and Quincy. Your thoughts on the NFL officiating.
I told you guys yesterday that it's not just the age of these guys. Is there any type of internal affairs with these officials on
internal affairs? Yeah, there's this a new show coming to CBS this fall.
Yeah, no, exactly. We'll get Andy Garcia right on it.
Coming this fall, the CBS Shady Refs.
Seriously, no, and Richard Gere too. Get the two of them.
Well, although there is a article that popped up on Bro Bible within the last hour or so that says,
"Boy Murray, you go to all the smut sites."
Love it. No, this was sent to me. However, a rumor that's currently circulating, if it's to be believed. Maybe there's something to be said about some shadiness going on with the refs. On Monday morning, noted gambling insider Incarcerated Bob informed the world that someone has casually dropped $185,000 on the Packers to beat the Lions and managed to net a cool $100,000 for their troubles. If he's to be believed, and it should be noted, it's a very big if, that same
it had to be a money line bet.
That same person has wagered sizable chunks of cash on multiple games that have been supervised by Cleet Snakeman. So Cleet Blakeman, that's who was the head official last night. Again, just a rumor, but he said he's talked to a gambling insider that said this. There's other books that this guy has spent a lot of money on Cleet Blakeman's officiated games.
Do you think these games are fixed?
No.
Probably.
No, I don't.
I'm starting to believe it. Last night was that was a crock.
But if last night's was, I'm happy about it because I had the Packers in my knockout pool. So,
so listen.
As I know no one cares.
I think the
I don't think they're fixed.
No. I think the issue is these coaches on the competition committee look at their film and, you know, watch the game closely and are like, we've got to clean this up. We got to clean that up. We have to clean up offensive holding. We have to clean up hands to the face. We have to clean up offensive pass interference. And so they come up with this laundry list of points of emphasis and they take them to the refs in the offseason and they say, we want to clean up this, that, and the other. And so the refs go into the year and they say, we're going to clean up this, that, and the other. And the next thing you know, there are flags everywhere. And it starts with the ownership and the competition committee and these points of emphasis in the offseason. And this is what happens. This is what I think is going on. But there are legitimate people out there and a lot of illegitimate people out there who think the games are actually fixed. I'm actually going to bring on a gambling expert next. One of the foremost handicappers here in Boston is going to join us on the phone next and tell us what he thinks. He thinks these games are not on the level and he'll give us evidence to that fact as well. We'll do that right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third down and 10 for Rodgers. Running out of options and then going down. And a flag comes down at the end there.
Illegal use of hands. Hands to the face. Defense.
I'm trying to figure out, when does he actually put hands to the face there? I got a shoulder pad, John Perry.
Boog, you're right.
And that's why you see Trey Flowers. He is so upset because he knows his hand was not on the face mask and the referee, Cleet Blakeman, they got fooled there.
Think this game was fixed? Think NFL games are rigged or manipulated? If you do, you're not alone. joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Do I have that right? We almost never use the thing.
Yep, that's it.
Our friends at your greater Boston Volkswagen Dealers, New England Volkswagen Dealers, the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, the star of the Over Under podcast on 98.5thesportshub.com. Catch it on the 98.5thesportshub app and our website. Dan Lifshatz, one of the foremost handicappers in Boston. I'm just going to call him that because I think that he and Joe Murray are. And they do that podcast. I asked you, Dan Lifshatz, said Jimmy, is he up, just to make sure? Dan, I ask you, do you think these games are manipulated?
100%. I mean, we talked about it a couple of years ago when I did the little after show with you, and we kind of talked about it. It was like a Niners game that night, and I told you that the Vegas really needed the Niners that night. They were, you know, desperate for Niners money, weren't getting it in, and lo and behold, the Niners somehow covered but didn't win the game. It happens constantly, Felger. We've talked about it many times.
Who did
times.
Vegas need last night?
What do you think they needed? They needed the Lions.
Explain
badly.
It to me. 101, fixing games, gambling for dummies. Just give it to me. What happened last night?
What happened was the Lions were very good in the first half. They helped the Lions with a few penalties. Lions got a nice lead, did very well. And then in the second half, they started doing everything towards once the Lions had a nice lead, they started going everything towards the Packers' way. And that's the nice, easy, concise way to do it. They've got, as I said, the NBA does it. They've gotten it down pat. Well, so has the NFL, especially in these primetime games, Felger. They just do. They know how to do it. They understand how to manipulate the system.
So you're saying,
even on these low spreads, the dog will cover and the favorite will win, and Vegas will get a nice outcome. Maybe not the best outcome, but a nice outcome.
So the league wants Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to win, but Vegas needs Detroit to cover, so they manipulate it as such.
It's a nice little partnership. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, it can't be all or nothing. It can't be all, the league getting everything their way, and it can't be, you know, the other side of the coin. It can't be Vegas getting everything their way. So it's a nice little middle where they each get something they need. Vegas gets the cover, and the league gets the win for the premier team, which they won the playoffs.
Do you really believe this?
100%.
Yeah, Dan, 100%. You're nuts.
You guys, I mean, literally, it's in front of your faces. You guys, why does it always occur? Always occur on primetime games, these big primetime games, where the money is always on one side. It just so happens that the favorite ends up winning but not covering. And this happens constantly. If you go back the past 5 years, first off, let me put it like this. The spread is dead in the NFL and has been for the past few years.
What does that mean, the spread is dead? What does that mean?
Meaning 93% of the time, you're not looking for the spread. The team that wins will cover the spread 93% of the time. That's what it's been from 2016 to 2018. You want to know what happens in primetime games? That only matters, the spread matters in 82% of the games. 82%, which means that there is a drastic.
Wait, hold on.
So I want to get that right.
So the spread matters in normal games 8% of the time is what you're telling me. Or 7, you said 93%.
7%.
So it goes from 7% to 82% in primetime games.
Correct. Yep, go look at it. Over the past few
go
years,
look at it. I want you to post or put on your podcast somewhere I can look at this, the actual data, game to game, the actual data that proves this.
Okay, absolutely. How about this? I'll do the research this week. We'll put it on the Over Under 985 podcast. That means you have to listen to it, Felger. You have to actually listen to the podcast.
No, I want it written out so I can read it on the
me
air.
Me too. I want to be able to print it out.
You want me to write it
yep.
out?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not listening to the podcast. I don't have time.
I want a graphic.
Okay, well, I know. You guys are so busy. All right, fine. I will do all that. I will try and do it this week. If not, I'll do it next week. Does that sound good?
Okay, but again, the spread is dead unless it's a primetime game. Then the spread comes into play 80-something percent of the time, you're saying.
80, yep, that's correct. I believe it's 82% of the time. The spread will matter 82% of the time. It's just, you can't compare it.
On Monday night, you're going to pound the Jets.
I don't know what side I'm taking yet on Monday night, because you want to know why? I don't know what side Vegas is probably going to need. Initially, yeah, I mean, I do like the Jets on Monday night. We kind of had that little off-air discussion yesterday. Well, Jimmy kind of relayed my words while I was munching down. But, yeah, I do like the Jets.
Hey, Dan.
It's already dropped from 9 to 10. Yep.
In all seriousness, if you can show me, document it, that the spread doesn't matter 93% of the time, I want to see it, because I think you're full of crap.
Okay, that's where we're
serious. There's no way that 93 out of 100 games of spreads irrelevant. There's no way.
Dude, that's how almost every single handicapper treats it these days, Matt. That's how the good people.
I don't care how they do that.
You're not picking that. You're picking a winner. And we've talked about that on the podcast. I know you haven't listened, but we've talked about it on the podcast numerous times. Ask, you know, have Joe Murray vouch for me. We did it all last year. We counted when the spread mattered. It was about one game a week the spread mattered, and almost every single time the spread mattered was a primetime game. Almost every single time.
Okay, again, I don't care how the handicappers treat it. I want the actual number. I want the real numbers. I want you to show me the games. Show me what the spread was and whether they covered, because there's no way it's 93% that it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered in the past 3 years. I will do that. I'll get on my research project, because I guess I do have time.
I know you do.
And the guy who works like three jobs has time, right? I will do that, and I will present it to you guys, and then you guys can look it over.
Love
you guys
it.
Can do your thing.
Okay, your podcast still kicking ass there, Dan?
Yeah, doing really well. Hit number 53 in all sports podcasts in the United States. It was pretty good. We beat you guys. So how about that?
Well, we're on some podcast list.
Well, they podcast the show. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, the podcast. Well, yeah.
That's because people listen to us live, Dan.
Hey, Danny, thanks for checking in. We appreciate
it. I know. Bye, boys. Have a good one.
Bye.
See you later, Dan. Thanks for the time.
So there's people who think it's legitimately rigged.
No, and the podcast is good as much as I do.
It kicks ass. But anyway.
I am interested. But I just find 93% is no way.
It goes from.
You're telling me of 100 football games, the spread matters in 7 of them? No way.
That's what he's claiming.
No way.
Unless it's bullcrap. Unless it's a primetime game, then the spread comes into play 82 out of 100.
Okay, so all non-primetime games.
It goes from 7 to 82%?
I bet you I can look at the games from this past Sunday and half of them the spread mattered.
Well, you can do that. Go ahead.
All right. Give me a second.
Go nuts. I'm not going to do right this second.
Well, I can't look up right this second.
As we're on
the
air.
During the break.
But
7 out of 100 games non-primetime.
I don't believe it's rigged. I believe that it's rigged from the ownership and the competition committee down to the refs, where they're trying to circumcise the mosquito and legislate all this stuff out of the game. And so it's over-officiated, and there's bound to be mistakes because it's impossible to officiate properly. It's impossible to officiate the way they want it officiated. I mean, just look at all the things that they've emphasized. Hands to the face is a huge one. Hands to the face is up 32% over last year. It's up 230% from 10 years ago. So they've told these refs to look for it. Next thing you know, Trey Flowers is getting his hands on the guy's neck or on the top of his shoulder pads. Bakhtiari, the tackle there in Green Bay, is selling it. He's embellishing. And the ref throws the flag because they told him to emphasize the call. That's no mistake. That's not rigged. That's just him. That's just that ref, that dunce ref, doing what he was told. They told to emphasize offensive pass interference. Those calls are way up. They told to emphasize offensive holding. Those calls are way up. They told to emphasize dangerous hits, right? This is why we talked about the Jarvis Landry block a Sunday in Cleveland, which was a joke of a call. But the only reason they threw it is because they told these refs, watch for crackback blocks, watch for blindside blocks, watch for dangerous hits. And so the next thing you know, a flag is out on Jarvis Landry. It happened last night. Early in the third quarter, Geronimo Allison going across the middle, that Detroit Lions safety going for the ball, helmet to helmet, absolutely nothing the Detroit safety could do. It shouldn't be a penalty, but the ownership and the competition committee is drilling into these refs. We got to get this out of the game, got to get it out of this game. So they're throwing the flag. That's where it starts. And I just can't believe that other thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's the only time I ever doubt officiating in the NFL. I'll tell you, there's one time where I do doubt it, when it's a blowout and all of a sudden you start to see calls on the team that's way ahead. I think the officials say we're not going to let this game get completely turned into a complete runaway. And so they tighten it up a little bit. Most of the time, it has no bearing on the game whatsoever, that a game that would have ended 40-3 ends up being 38-13. Right? But sometimes there's a possession in there, or occasionally you'll see a makeup call. If there's a bad call on one side, they call PI, it's questionable. The offense lines up, they call holding on the next play. Like, those are the ones I question.
They definitely even it out. Just like the NBA. One trip up the floor, it's on you. The other trip up the floor, they even it out. Oh, they definitely do that. So we continue with your reaction to this, the officiating controversy in the NFL, the suspension of Michael Bennett. If you haven't heard, there was breaking news today with the Patriots. Details here, and we're back to discuss with your call.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
To your calls quickly, just checking on last week's slate, following up on Dan Lifshatz's claim that the spread is dead, meaning that if you just ignore the spread, you're going to win most of your bets anyway. Only 7% of the time does the spread end up mattering. Matt just quickly looked at last week's slate of NFL games and found that what?
That I said 2 out of 12, the spread mattered.
Only 2 out of 12.
In the non-primetime games, but the mistake I made was I included the Patriots. So it's actually 2 out of 11.
So only 2 out of 11, the spread mattered last week.
Non-primetime games, correct. And 9 of the 11 day games, the 1 and 4 o'clock games, including the London game, the spread did not matter. The only games where it mattered were the Baltimore game, Cincinnati covered late, and the Miami game where the Dolphins covered it, you know, they were getting 3 at home. They lost by 1.
So Lifshatz and Joe Murray claim from the Over Under podcast on 95 The Sports Hub that pretty much holds true every week. But primetime, it gets funky. Primetime, the team they want to win wins outright, but there's usually a cover. And the spread comes into play in these primetime games. So we'll do some further research and see if that bears out.
Tell you what, I like that theory, though.
Okay, so back to your phones. Here's Paul in Blackstone on Trey Flowers last night. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Mike, thanks for keeping me on hold for an hour and a half. So real quick, I don't know if you guys remember back when we were talking about the Trey Flowers signing with Detroit. You guys took a lot of calls on it. There were a lot of Patriots fans who didn't really have a big problem with it. They said that Flowers got a huge contract, one of the highest paid defensive linemen in the game, and that he was rather plug and play with the Patriots. Now I was one of those callers, and you guys spent a great deal of time belittling everybody who didn't say that this move was bad for the Patriots. Why can't it be okay that Trey Flowers is good? Why do you Patriots fans have to be such babies now that he's gone? So, a third of the way through the season, after what happened last night, it felt like a good time to revisit this. I just want to know, Mike, two questions. One, what was your favorite part about the one sack that Trey Flowers has so far? And two, how do you like him now, Felger?
I'm going to keep on hold for 2.5 hours next time. Because I got drowned out in your little diatribe. I forget. What are you asking exactly? What's your point?
No, he's just saying, see, Trey Flowers sucks. You guys were wrong.
Oh, no. I think Michael Bennett's worked out much better, caller.
Yeah.
Much better. Much better. I'd much rather look at Michael Bennett slouch on the sidelines for 70 of the 80 snaps every week. Much better play by Belichick. Good call. Thank you. No, excellent. I'd much rather have. I think Michael Bennett's worked out much better.
Okay. But
Bill wins again.
I'll play along with the caller just for the hell of it. Does it matter?
Meaning?
Flowers, having let Flowers go, has it hurt them?
No. Did we say they should sign Trey Flowers?
I think I did.
I didn't.
I mean, I didn't like the money either. And I was happy when they signed Bennett, because I felt like, okay, well then I remember feeling I can accept it if they're bringing Bennett in. But as it's turned out so far, they haven't missed either one of those guys.
Paul and Blackstone, call back. Michael Bennett, much better. No question about it. Much better. Here's Derek in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Considering that Bennett is now fighting with his coaches, do you guys think, I know Winovich has gotten a good amount of playing time, but do you think Winovich is going to slip in there, maybe Belichick's first man to go to? I mean, since he's gone on the team, he's done pretty good.
It's just different spots. It's different roles. I mean, I don't know, unless they're both sub-rushers. I'm surprised that Bennett wasn't used as a sub-rusher. Okay, fine. If he doesn't want a two-gap and he doesn't want to play your system, he doesn't want to tie up blockers and defend the run and do that thing, so fine. But why can't he sub-rush from the middle of the field?
Good question.
But maybe they look at it and say, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You're not putting in the work. You're not buying in, so screw you. Rot. And there's a little bit of that going on, and so maybe Michael Bennett gave it back to him last Friday after that game, and now his ass is suspended. So
he's gone.
Eventually.
He's gone. I can't see any way that they end up keeping him here now. Not that I felt this way yesterday. So the fact that this suspension to me is just another thing to throw on top of it. If we see him in a uniform for the Cleveland game, I'll be surprised.
Here's Tom and Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
Hey, Mike, it was a matter of time before the Michael Bennett, you know, jackassery showed its ugly head, right? I mean, I'll agree with you in the fact that you've been saying this since the day they signed him, that there was something creeping around the corner eventually.
Always.
He just can't keep his mouth shut. He can't. I'm kind of surprised it took this long into the season because he started getting a little mouthy a few weeks ago. So I'm not sure how what finally blew up to happen. But my question to you guys, it's like if they can move him, you know, do you start going back to look at the teams that were trying, that were interested in him before the year?
Yes.
And then I was thinking to myself, I'm not sure that there were that many out there, and the Pats kind of outbid them, you know, kind of bid against themselves for his services. So
they gave this a-hole a raise, Tom. They gave this guy a raise. Michael Bennett said at the end there in Philadelphia, I'm not coming back unless I get more money, unless I get a raise. And the Patriots gave it to him.
And that's the bigger point to this. It's just another mismanaged asset by Belichick, the GM. Greatest head coach of all time. I said this Friday when I saw what the snap count was. It was 11 against the Giants. The number's been going down. It just started to feel like here's another one he got wrong. And when it comes to some of these veterans, especially on that side of the ball, Bennett, Coney Ealy, giving a pay bump to Alan Branch a few years ago, like a lot of misses.
Well, this one is just a bad contract. Like I'd say the same thing about Antonio Brown. You want to take a chance on a guy, fine. You know, structure the contract in your favor. They didn't. And same with this. They gave him real money. They gave him a freaking raise.
They tried to buy his cooperation. That's what they tried to do.
Oh, God.
Right, because Bill knows. Bill's no fool. Bill knows what Bennett's reputation is. And he had Martellus here. I mean, again, the similar personalities for crying out loud. So the way he looked at it is, you know what, we'll give this guy a raise. We'll get him to buy in. He'll be all right. And they tried to buy his cooperation.
And it ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter. You're still that much better than everybody else. Your conference is a joke. You're going to be in the Super Bowl. It's not going to matter. But that doesn't mean it's the right move. I mean, simple as that. Here's Sully and Southie. Hi, Sully.
Hey. Yeah, you guys were talking about the lack of wide receivers earlier. And I was happy that they picked up Harry in the first round. But later on in the first round, there was DK Metcalf, who was still there. And
well, let's see. Slam, we're up against it. Let's see how that plays out. So DK Metcalf has had a better start than N'Keal Harry. We'll see how that plays out. We'll see if they got the right guy or the wrong guy. On the running back, the year before, it looks like they got the wrong guy. This Chubb in Cleveland looks like a better player than Sony Michel, so they missed on that one, which happens. It's, you know.
I mean, they could have had Calvin Ridley that year, too.
They could have.
Between.
I mean, I'll give you a million examples. They could have just waited for the kid in Denver off the street. Was he the year before that even? But whatever. There's a million examples of it, which is example number 8,000 why you don't take those running backs in the first round. But if N'Keal Harry in the long run turns out to be a player, that's all you're, you know.
Sure.
You can't judge him on the first six games of the year.
Too early for that.
We'll see if Tommy Boy lets him in. That's really the question. Tommy hates young, inexperienced players. They're really not worth his mental energy, as he said, quote unquote. So we'll see if he gives any of his mental energy to the first round pick now that he's back at practice. Long commercial free segment is next. Oh, there is a quarterback in the league who I think is kind of an a-hole and not even a good team guy. He's willing to give a young receiver his mental energy. We'll hit on that right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Stop it.
With Devontae out and then Geronimo goes down, you know, we finally get Allen in the game. And that's what he does. He's been doing it in practice a bunch. Good to see him finally get an opportunity to make some big plays.
I mean, for those receivers, they know that they have to earn your trust. Like you said, Devontae was out. You had some injuries. There were some balls that were dropped. Alan Lazard hadn't caught a touchdown pass since he was in college. What made you have so much trust in him?
As I see in practice, I sit next to him in meetings. I see the study habits. I see the preparation. He's been waiting for an opportunity. And finally, He got one, and he played how I expect him to play. I'm very proud of him.
Okay, that's Aaron Rodgers, who I don't even think is a very good team guy. I'm not even that in terms of a dude, in terms of what kind of guy he is. I'm not sure about Aaron Rodgers. But given love and support to a young rookie nobody receiver who actually helped him out and helped him win a ball game, how it should be. It just made me think how Brady's not doing that here and how he could and should, and it's a much better story. I think Aaron Rodgers looked really good there. And it's hard for him to look good because I think he's kind of a douche. But this Alan Lazard, undrafted nobody, right, was on Jacksonville's practice squad, was on the Green Bay practice squad, was cut in camp, brought back, end of the roster guy, only there because they've got a million injuries at receiver. The Jacoby Myers guy, who did, frankly didn't even do as much as Jacoby Myers. He's forced into action, and Rodgers goes to him, and he has a handful of big grabs in that ballgame and helps him win a ballgame. And Rodgers just talks about having earned his trust, seeing him at practice, sitting next to him in meetings, seeing the preparation, seeing what he puts into it. I'm really proud of him. It's just sort of a nice moment there. Like, that's how it should be. And it's just not how it is here with Brady at this time. And I'd like to see it. I think it could turn like that, and it should be, and it will be eventually. I bet Jacoby Myers will come around and Brady will take ownership of it, and I'll be a happy story at the end of the day. But it's just not that way now. I mean, you hear Brady talk about these young guys now. It's like night and day. Again, when he's asked about helping bring the young receivers along a couple weeks ago, he says this.
I mean, it's just I'm the quarterback, so, you know, I don't make those decisions. And, who's ever out there, that's who I got to play with.
It's quite a difference.
I mean, that one was about the tight ends.
That was about the tight ends, but the same difference.
Yeah, no. Pass catchers, totally. And then, the other one to me in a lot of ways was worse. This was bad because he threw those two guys under the bus. But his attitude in the other one is in a lot of ways worse.
Give me the other one.
I think one thing we talked about here is just doing our job. So, I mean, I can do what I can do. Everyone player can do what they can do. I can't do anything for anyone else. They can't do anything for me. So a lot of it's just trust and trying to communicate trust and communication so that, you know, I've always said the best teammates are the ones that I have to think about the least because I don't want to expend my mental energy on things that aren't really my job.
That's the more I hear it really it's the worst thing Tom Brady's ever said.
Really, it's a dinky comment.
In the 20 years here, my favorite athlete of all time, that's the worst thing he's ever said. It makes him look like the worst kind of teammate. That's Kyrie Irving type stuff.
And if even Aaron Rodgers gets it, who is the modern day Dan Marino, like
he's again, a diva. He's an NFL diva.
Exactly. I'm not telling you Rodgers is a good teammate or a good leader. I think he's just the opposite. But even he gets it.
At least he can fake it and put a good, put a smile on his face.
Even Aaron Rodgers can say the right thing publicly to support his young teammate, and Brady can't? Like, come on, man. Like, get with it.
No, totally. Look, again, those two comments stuck out, and they're bad for different reasons. The one about the tight end was just, tight ends, Lacoste and Izzo. Like, I got to play with who's out there. I mean, the translation of that is, well, they suck, but don't blame me. What do you want me to do?
Rodgers last night has guys dropping easy touchdowns. Jamal Adams. No, what's his?
Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones. Why do I keep calling him the Jets safety? Aaron Jones. He got guys dropping easy touchdowns. He's got this Shepherd kid having. It would have been first and goal at the one in the fourth quarter to take the lead. It bounces off his face for a 55-yard interception going the other way. He's got balls bouncing off a guy's face. His balls bouncing off a guy's hands. Guys dropping touchdowns. Jimmy Graham dropped a touchdown in the second quarter as well. He's got guys dropping punts. He's got no one out there. And if he wanted to have this little pity party, he could do the same thing, except he kept playing and he kept going to this rookie and it worked out. He threw him some support. Like, that's how it should all. If Aaron Rodgers can do it and get it, then Brady sure as hell should be able to do it too.
Oh, he can do it. And look, I think that you started to see maybe some change in the last game. And I go by what Brady said after the game. You know, he said, you know, those guys are working hard. They're trying. You know, it wasn't without a backhanded little swipe. And I think it was more at Belichick when he said, you know, when I was a rookie, I was just worried about learning the playbook, as if to say, well, blame the coach. He's the one that put these guys in this spot. Like, that's sort of how I took it. But at least he acknowledged that they were making the effort, that they came through in the game. So maybe he's turning a corner.
He will.
Maybe he definitely will.
I can't believe he's going to carry himself like this the whole season.
I mean, when the big moments come and the big games come, he won't put that before winning. He won't.
Okay, so we continue with your thoughts on this and the suspension of Michael Bennett and that roster move, how that's looking at this juncture and the whole thing. I don't think it changes the bottom line. I still think you're, as I said, you are waltzing backwards into the Super Bowl. because I don't think Kansas City is going to be there at the end. I think you're going to waltz to the number one seed without even much effort, and that means bye dates, tomato cans, home dates, the whole thing. And so we're still going to see in Miami. And that's despite the two biggest, most high-profile offseason moves, Antonio Brown. I know he's in season, but Antonio Brown and Michael Bennett looking like they're going to blow up in your face.
Quickly, just speaking to him, because you know you say, oh, Brady will come around. I thought I saw this earlier, but now it's confirmed. So Antonio Brown took to Instagram again today, shocker. And it's a painting of his face with the hashtag FreeAB. Who do you think was one of the first likes on
Brady?
Oh, God.
Brady. Brady's been all over his Instagram account.
Yep. He can't like these posts fast enough. Free AB. Come back.
And Brady immediately throws him the sausage emoji.
Sure did.
Eggplant.
It was just a like. It wasn't any kind of emoji.
Sorry.
Or good for you. Or
put
anything.
A little cannoli up there, too.
A heart emoji?
Yeah.
Good God. Seriously, Tom. Give it up already. He's not coming back.
You know what? That's what he's angling for.
Do you think so?
Yes.
We're paying definitely. Him anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure or just to stick home the point to, you know, the Crafts or the Bill or whoever, like, just let him know, no, I'm still with you, man. I'm with you. Like, it's just let it go already. But I will say, the more he does that, don't you sort of look at it and say, your head's still there?
Like, get your head out of Antonio right. Brown's jock.
Exactly. Like, why are you still thinking about him? Like, all of a sudden, the guy was here 10 minutes. Would he fall in love with him while he was here or what? Like, seriously, let it go.
It was the greatest receiver sex he's ever had, and he's still thinking about it.
Really, though? Like, how
now he's got these missionary duds like Myers that are just like, oh, I guess.
I mean, is he still liking everything Danny Amendola puts up there, too? Like, who else? And at least Amendola was here for so many years. What's his obsession with this guy?
Is it partly to dig at the Patriots front office?
Yes, definitely.
That might be part of it too, sure.
Definitely. I mean, that's probably the primary reason to do it.
Tweaking him.
Yeah. But even then, I would say get over it. Get over it already and move on. He's not coming back. So work with what you've got and wait for them to get someone at the deadline. Now, look, if they don't add help in some way, shape, or form, and for all I know, look, if you tell me it's Harry and Harry plays well, fine, I'll accept that. Like, but they should have a good idea now as to what Harry's going to be able to give them. Even if they should know, can we count on this guy or not? And so I would hope that they would add receiving help.
Is Brady going to throw to him is what they have to be asking.
So, okay, so there's that.
Is Brady going to look at this kid and throw to him?
I mean, and maybe this is their way of leveraging Brady. Because I said to you, I understand it from both sides. I can understand why Tom is frustrated. At the same time, at this stage, I can understand the you know, front office or Bill looking at Tom and going, okay, Tom, so if I trade for a receiver, what happens if he doesn't catch the first couple you throw to him? You going to bury him, too?
All right. Your calls on everything, I promise. 90 seconds, no commercials. There was breaking Patriots news today. You'll hear it here in the update. No spots, and we come back and react.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.